Doors opening to the lift of the hotel, which is where I am, in Vancouver, in Canada, and where you join me for this particular edition of the podcast. I'm just on my way. Oh, I'm going to open the door. Just on my way out to meet a friend for dinner. It's a little cold here in Vancouver, about kind of 0 degrees, minus one, something like that. And I'm just going to be walking for the next few minutes. I thought it'd be a good point to record my little bit of the podcast. Lots and lots to talk about. I've been having a great time here in Canada. Vancouver is a beautiful city. You get to, I mean, it'd be great if we could host a Eurovision here. I think some people might have some things to say about that, but that would be amazing. The views you get of the amazing snow-covered mountains, the huge pine trees that you can see, and then the hustle and bustle of the city. It just makes it such a great place. And Canadians are really friendly as well. Everybody sort of comes up to you and chats to you, and people are very nice. So this is where I'm going to be recording my bit of this edition of Nullpoix.
Nullpoix is shameful.
Nullpoix is lack of respect for Eurovision.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
Shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpoint is no fun.
Yes, and welcome to this very different episode of Nullpoix. As you've heard over there, I am part of this episode, by the way, but I thought I'd let Martin do his little bit first. Yes, Martin is in Canada, in Vancouver, in fact, and I'm still here in good old Blighty, still ill, unfortunately. Will I ever shake this illness? It's not COVID, but no, it seems the answer is I won't. Anyway, with Martin in Vancouver, what's going to happen in this episode is I'm going to read through some things that have been going on in the Eurovision world, and Martin is going to react to them and give us his take and also give us little updates of what he's up to in Vancouver. So the first big one, and as some of you pointed out that we kind of missed this in last week's episode, and that's because, I should say, by the way, I'm Laura, that's Martin. I think that's obvious. It's a Eurovision podcast. I think hopefully you've got that idea by now. But yes, this is more we're going to talk about first, about Junior Eurovision, because some people are saying, oh, you didn't mention that last episode. And yes, we didn't, because we normally record on a Thursday, because we're just too busy people on the weekend. So sometimes we do miss out news. Obviously, when it gets closer to Eurovision, we probably won't do that. But at the moment, that's what we do. So this news that came out was the UK act for Junior Eurovision was revealed, and it's Freya Skye. She's only 13 years old. She's from Buckinghamshire, and she's been announced as the UK's Junior Eurovision Song Contest entrant. It's going to be the first time in 15 years that the UK's taken part in the junior version of the Song Contest, which, of course, has been held in Armenia this year, which is very exciting. I think we've already spoken about the fact that the UK's rejoining Junior Eurovision and how nice it is to see us taking part again. I think it shows, in general, how much more into Eurovision and its various contests the UK is at the moment, and how more seriously it's taken it. Freya's song is called Lose My Head, by the way. And let's have a little listen to it now.
Yeah, you can get what you want when you want it. Your kind should have come with a warning. No, I can't hide from the truth. I lose my head over you. You take what you need when you need it. Two shocks to my heart just to feel it. No, I can't make no excuse. I lose my head over you.
Now, I got to say, I really love this. I think this is great. If this was the UK's entry for Eurovision next year, I'd be behind it. And sometimes I don't know whether my view is an accurate view of the televoters, because I quite like the kind of camp, upbeat, kind of, you know, fiery, poppy stuff, like your Fuegos, that kind of stuff. I really like that kind of stuff. And she's given it. Go girl. I love it. So I really like this. I think this could do well. It's worth saying the team behind the song has worked with people like Pharrell Williams, Megan Thee Stallion. So, you know, big names. I like it. I think it could do well. Let's cross over to Martin now. I don't think he's heard the song yet because, you know, he's been busy in Canada. But your thoughts, Martin, just on Freya and the fact we've got a name now.
Well, massive congratulations to Freya Sky. I mean, wow, what an accolade. And what an amazing thing for a 13-year-old to be able to do. I mean, that is just incredible. It's great to see the UK back in the Junior Eurovision Song Contest after such a long time of not being in it. And I really hope that this isn't a one-off just because the UK is hosting in 2023. I really hope that it means that the UK is going to be properly throwing its weight behind it, because it's about time that it did. We know the benefits of being in Junior Eurovision for countries, in that you can kind of train people to get them ready. So often we see people who are contestants in Junior Eurovision 1 year, maybe kind of 5, 6, 7, 8 years later, going and representing their country in normal Eurovision, and it goes really, really well. By the way, I'm still walking through the streets of Vancouver. It's absolutely freezing, and it's got dark here now, but it's still such an amazing city. Anyway, yeah, massive well done to Freya. What an amazing thing. I was just reading and quite interested to see the people who are behind her. So, will you hear that, by the way? Hear that? They have little bird noises as you cross the road here. Every crossing has got a little different bird noise. And there's a little cuckoo that you can hear. I don't know what that one was, but I think they're quite cool. Anyway, sorry. The people who are behind the song, and this is really, really important. I'm just a bit confused as to where we're going here. Yeah, it's really, really important to note the names of the people that are getting behind this. And I think this really shows that the UK properly means business this year. Because who have we got here? The people who've worked on it also worked with Ava Max, Pharrell Williams, Megan Thee Stallion. So these are big, big names that these writing teams have worked with, and just shows that they really are putting their money where their mouth is. I think it's really, really great news, and congratulations once again, Freya. It's all now going to be down to that performance and to the staging and to everything else that we know and expect with what makes a great Eurovision performance. I'd be very interested to hear the song, because will it give us any sort of clue as to which way the UK is going to go when it comes to our actual Eurovision song for proper adult Eurovision? I don't know. I don't know whether there's anything in that, whether countries try out things in Junior Eurovision that then give you an idea as to what's going to happen in the adult version or not. Not sure whether that works that particular way, but I think that'd be really, really interesting to find out. Cress, back to you.
Right, thanks for that, Martin. I'm glad to hear you know, you're on the move, it seems. And it's a good point. I don't know whether Junior Eurovision really leads much to adult Eurovision. I'm not sure. It's really hard to tell with that one. But try and have a listen to the song if you can, because I think you'll like it. Moving on to our next bit of news now, and we're going to be talking a bit about Belgium, because they've revealed their Eurosong 2023 artists. So these are the artists who are going to be competing against each other to represent Belgium. We've got seven artists, like I said. First one is called Amira. Her real name is Astrid Rolands. She was discovered in the Belgian show Idol 2003. So she's been going for quite some time. She's been a songwriter for artists like Jennifer Lopez, DJ Tiesto. So she did have a duet with the Norwegian duo Madcon, who was seen at Eurovision 2010 as an interval act. So she's kind of been in the game. She, you know, I feel like this is someone who's got a bit of experience and is definitely looking to, like, maybe take the next leap up in the contest. Next, we've got Shireen, who's 27. Again, all these song contests seem to be a driver for Eurovision, because she was in The Voice Van der Leeren, which I'm guessing is the Belgian Voice, in 2017. She was part of Hooverphonics' Alex Callier team. So again, lots of experience there. Gala Dragut, only 17. next up. So this is going to be someone who I'm guessing is maybe bigger on things like TikTok and things like that. And is, it sounds like she comes from an artistic family. Her dad is a very prominent figure, apparently, in the Albanian showbiz world. So there you go. She's kind of following her family's musical path. We have Gustav, who's a lot older. He's 42. He wrote his first song, though, when he was 7 years old. So he's been writing songs for some time. He scored a hit, apparently, with the first, with his first single, Gonna Lose You. He sang with the band Hercules and Love Affair. And I actually love Hercules and Love Affair. I love their song Blind. So I'm very interested to see where he goes. They're quite a funky kind of disco band. Next up, we've got Hunter Falls. That's not a band. It's just one man. He's 27. He's been singing since he was 6 years old. All these people have been singing for a very, very long time. And he's got quite an emotional story. His parents fled the war in Iraq and arrived in Belgium in 1991. He also took part in The Voice in 2017, came third in the first edition of NMM Rising Star. So as you can see, again, everyone seems to have taken part in The Voice. It seems to be a pretty done thing. Loredana De Amicis is 36. She took part in the pre-selections of Euro Song World, which is the Belgian national selection, with Pat Crimson in 2014. Didn't win the national selection, but still did very well with that. And also, finally, the Starlings. We finally got a duo because everyone seems to be just on their own, who is Tom Dice and Cato Calabout. And they are, again, they've had breakthroughs on the talent competitions. Tom was also a former participant in Eurovision back in 2010 with the song Me and My Guitar, which I remember. I remember that song. He finished sixth in the grand final with that. So perhaps these are the ones with the most experience of Eurovision. They're back again, except now it's Tom and Cato. So there you go. That's the seven who were taking part in the Belgian national selections, which is called Euro Song. What do you think about that, Martin?
Welcome once again back to a freezing cold Vancouver. I'm just coming up to the waterfront now. The water, lovely, by the way, here. There's a lot of it. A lot of nature around Vancouver, which I think is quite cool. I think we're meant to be turning right here, I think, to carry on to where we've got to go. I'm going to this this bar, this pub thing to meet a friend who I've known for a very, very long time who moved to Vancouver. Oh, if we run, we can get the... got to cross the road here before it tells us to stop. I'm running across a road. What am I talking about? Belgium. And I've been looking down the list of potential, I think it's seven, isn't it, that are up for going forward to potentially be Belgium's entry. And one of the things I first noticed actually from the list was that the ages of the people taking part, I think, are quite a lot older than you would normally see. I do, and I have often thought this, that Eurovision is a bit of a young person's game. Very often you'll get 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds representing their country. A lot of these, not all, but a lot of these, for example, Amira is 39 years old, which you might say, you know, for pop stars these days, maybe that is a little old. Not in real life, of course, but in the world of pop stardom and celebrity, maybe that's a little bit older. There's some other ones who are, I mean, there's one here who is 17, so that, there we go. But then Gustav is 42. So certainly a range of ages, if not a complete... just sort of slightly skewing older, which I think is really interesting. What does that mean? I don't really know what that tells me, but I think it's interesting. Belgium always kind of bring out the goods. It's just they tend to, I think, go down one style and they really go for it hard, and sometimes I think they guess it wrong. Do you remember they've gone quite country in years gone by? That's not always worked for them. They've gone with certain stars that haven't always worked, but when they get it right, they really do know what they're doing. So going to be interesting to see who they pick and whether they go for like the 17 year old or whether they do pick someone who is slightly older, and maybe that will bring something new to the competition. Having said that, don't go too old and do what we did with, was it what's his name, Engelbert Humperdinck. That didn't bode very well at all, I would say. Oh, someone's just started playing a traditional flute. That sounds quite nice. Right, I'm getting very close to the pub that I'm going into now. So next time you hear from me, I'll be a few wines down and able to tell you a little bit more about some of the things that are being discussed in this edition of Nul Poir. But Cress, what else you got for me?
Well, what insightful commentary from Martin there. Thank you so much, Martin. Really, really did give us a lot of thought in that some people in that selection were older. Thanks for that, Martin. And thanks for telling us about the water and the flute. I hope you enjoy your pub. We'll be catching up with Martin. And for some more insightful thoughts a bit later in the show. Next, we're looking at the fact that ESC 250 is back once again for the year. If you don't know what this is, it's kind of a countdown of fans' favourite Eurovision songs. Fans get to choose which are their kind of top Eurovision songs at all times. You can choose any Eurovision song. It doesn't have to be one that's won. Any of them. And they are compiled. And then they are revealed. The results are revealed. Now, the funny thing about this, and me and Martin do have an in-joke about this, is that every year, for I think the past 9 years, Loreen's Euphoria has won. Which, if you think about it, makes sense because she won, obviously, in 2012. So pretty much ever since the song was released as a Eurovision song, she has topped the ESC Top 250 charts. And every year, all these websites go, ooh, could another song knock her off the list? I mean, Snap, Armenia's Rosalyn, has done very well. 300 million streams globally on Spotify. The third most streamed Eurovision song ever, behind only Duncan Lawrence and Måneskin, which is crazy. And that's done in record time as well. So she could possibly do pretty well. I just don't think anyone else is going to win this other than Loreen Euphoria again. I mean, I'm not too mad about it. It is a great song. It would be nice to see a bit of a variety because it's a bit of, it becomes a bit of a joke, really, otherwise. But anyway, if you want to vote about this, it's on songfestival.be. You've got to register with an account. Then you're presented with every Eurovision song since 1956, including, by the way, the ones that were cancelled for 2020, so you can still vote for them. You drag and drop, you pick your top 10 using the 12-point system. You can only vote once per account. So go to songfestival.be, and then I think they reveal the results of the poll throughout New Year's Eve, and that's on the online radio station, ESC Radio. So go on to there, make your vote. Let's see if Loreen is going to be knocked off for this year. I don't think she is. Let's catch up with Martin now, who's had a couple of wines for his thoughts.
Back to me then, and just finished the night out. I've had two wines and I am quite jet lagged, so apologies for anything that comes out of my mouth in the next little while. Talking about the ESC 250 then, I've said this many years in the running now, and I'm going to say it again. I don't understand why Euphoria by Loreen wins every year. It's stupid. It's ridiculous. Why do people only vote for songs that they can remember in their own lives? Like, why doesn't Waterloo by ABBA win the best Eurovision song every year running? It's obviously the best song. Everybody knows it. So why? It's an all right song. I've said this before. Just go and listen to one of the previous podcasts. I've said it before. Euphoria is a good song. Great. It's catchy. It's a good Eurovision tune. Is it the best Eurovision song ever? 10 years running, or whatever it is. No, it isn't. I don't think. But anyway, maybe it'll be unseated this time. I mean, it obviously won't, will it? But maybe it will. I'm just looking at some of the other possible runners and riders. I mean, Kalash Orchestra, maybe like Ukraine will get some sort of vote because of the situation that's going on there. Maybe the UK contingent going to vote for Sam Ryder. Doesn't seem like very likely, does it? It's just going to be Loreen Euphoria. So I imagine that's exactly what's going to happen again. Bit of a shame, really. But that's my thoughts on that. Still walking through Vancouver, by the way. It's got pretty chilly again. I think we're probably down to about 0 degrees Celsius at the moment. And it's a lot later on at night, so the traffic is a lot quieter. We're just waiting for the crossing to go, and when that happens we're going to hear the little bird noises again, which I really enjoy. ESC 250, I don't know. Oh, I meant to cross, but we haven't got the bird noise. That's a shame. I don't know who I would vote for other than ABBA and Waterloo. It's got to be the best song. Other than that one by Cliff Richard where he sings about giving power to bees, because that's just stupid. But anyway, other than that, that's fine. Anyway, Chris, back to you.
Thank you again, Martin, for those really insightful comments. Only two wines, by the way. I guess you were a little bit jet-lagged. Just want to come in on your point there that you're saying everyone knows that ABBA's Waterloo is the best song. No, Martin, music is subjective. And just because you love ABBA and Waterloo does not mean, because that would mean ABBA's Waterloo won every year. So the whole point, I do get the point that you're making, that people are just voting for the songs that they know and they remember. And it's probably a young crowd that is voting on this. So, and Euphoria is one of the best songs of the contest, arguably, in the past sort of 10 years or so. But, you know, you just set deciding that Waterloo is the best because you love it, I disagree with. It's subjective, Martin. The problem is more that the people who are voting are just voting on songs that they remember rather than objectively looking at all the songs and deciding. I think that's the problem. The song you were referencing by Cliff Richard was, of course, Power to All Our Friends from 1973, where, yes, he does say power to the bees, which was kind of weird. Anyway, it's time for this.
Flap. Well, flappity, flappity, flap. Well, flappity, flappity, flap. Well, flappity, flappity, flap that Eurobop.
Yes, it's Flop the Eurobop, and we're going to do it a little bit differently this time round. I'm still going to be singing it. But what I'm going to be doing is leaving it up to you guys, and I want you to get in touch over the week. Let me know what you think it is, and then I will reveal it next episode. So that's how we're going to do it. I think it's a pretty easy one I've got set up for you. So here we go. I will do it now. If you don't remember what this is, by the way, this is where we sing a Eurovision song badly and you've got to guess what we're singing. So here we go. Here's my entry. Here we go. The thing is, I actually really like this song, so I feel a bit bad that I've kind of done that. But I think that was quite easy. I don't think I maybe got the last line perfect, but I think if you know the song, you'll know it. So message in, and I'm going to give you the ways that you can do that in just a second. But there we go. Right, so there we go. That's pretty much the end for this week. We'll catch up with Martin in just a second to see what he's finally been up to. I did say if you wanted to get in contact with us, there's plenty of ways to do it. Remember, you can do on our Twitter. We are at Poirnull on Twitter. We are also on Instagram. We are Nullpoir Podcast on Instagram. Thank you to the Euro Riffs podcast who got in contact with us on our Instagram page. Susie, actually, who messaged us before about being a fellow board gamer and convention goer, who said, I didn't have enough on my plate with all that, so I started a podcast as well. Susie, we're very alike in that respect. And they were explaining their podcast. They say, we focus on music from Eurovision artists that they make after the contest or before, in the case of established artists, as they're announced for this year's season. That's why we call ourselves the Peripheral Podcast, as we dance around the edge of Eurovision. So yeah, if that sounds like something you're interested in, do check them out. They're on Instagram, Euroriffs Podcast. Thanks very much. Nice to hear from you, Susie. If you want to message us and let us know that you got my fantastic Flop the Eurobop, you can, of course. We are on email as well. We've got email nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com. Luke B got in touch calling me their sister in sickness. Luke's also got a stupid cough. Oh, Luke, I feel for you because, yes, it's not been great. Luke gives their thoughts on the BBC, the UK's junior Eurovision entry, saying, wow, 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 the BBC are not sneaking in via the back door, but has blown out the entire front wall and entered that way to have a strong contender for the win on the BBC's first foray at JESC. It's truly incredible. I agree. I really like the song. Luke continues to say, the song's contemporary and catchy, and Freya herself is a fantastic talent. Yeah, imagine, she's only 13 years old, and like Sam, a Eurovision fan, a genuine Eurovision fan. I was glad to hear also that it's not one off but a long-term plan. That's true, actually. They did say that's going to be the case, and that there could likely be a national final in the future, which would be really good fun. Also mentions about the Kalosh Rasmus collab, which I have heard, but yes, I agree, Luke, again, a good one. So lots of good music out at the moment that's Eurovision related. Also says I hope Martin enjoys his trip to Canada. Right, that's pretty much all we've got for this edition of the podcast. Thank you for listening. I know it's been a little bit on and off, but I hope you enjoyed it still. Let's catch up with Martin for the very end to find out what he's up to and where he'll be for the next episode, because we'll have this again, because Martin will be in Canada again, because you can't really go to Canada for just a week. So let's see what he's up to now.
And that is it from me here in Vancouver. I can just about see the hotel, I think, somewhere in the distance. Although with this grid system, this is the thing, in all these North American cities, every street kind of looks the same, because they're all just laid out on a grid. All the intersections look exactly the same, and you can never tell really where you are. But anyway, I think I'm coming close to the hotel now. So I shall love you and leave you, and I'll speak to you again next week from Vancouver, where I'm going to be somewhere else. In fact, I won't be in Vancouver exactly. I think I'll probably by that point be either in Banff, which is a little town in the mountains, in the Rocky Mountains, or I shall be in Seattle, which I should be on the road between the two, which is something I'm not really looking forward to. It's like a 12-hour drive, which that's not going to be great. But anyway, she'll speak to you again on the next edition of Nulpois.